Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So yesterday I credited Mayor LaToya Cantrell, and I still do so today, for her request of help from the federal government relative to this classification of a SEER 1 classification, special event assessment rating is what it's called. And it's the highest potential threat rating the government can assign to an event. This was kind of an outgrowth of a number of different incidents that had occurred. A lot of it motivated and driven by 9/11. The refining of the way that we view certain types of events and things along those lines. Depending on the nature of the event, really dictates the nature of what the federal response will be and assistance afforded, as well as the requests from local government. But it's not this all-encompassing open checkbook where they come in an assault on the city and remove decision-making authority from everyone within the city. My experience has been that this is more of a partnership that's created between city actors, security folks, and the federal officials that come in with certain levels of expertise and that they make available to local government. I had a conversation yesterday with Council Member at Large, J.P. Morrell, where it almost seemed as though there was this notion that we would give up the governance to the federal government on all things that they decided that they wanted to do. And that's not been my experience, and I've talked to many folks over the years that have worked with federal authorities, and I have as well, as how things take place. And just my opinion, we got off into this conversation about whether or not, you know, security would be manageable on one parade's route as opposed to another parade's route. I visited twice with the NYPD as to how they handle crowd control. I visited with the Chicago PD many, many years ago in doing the same thing, and visited with LAPD many, many years ago as well about their approach. They're all very strikingly similar and all different from the manner in which we conduct Mardi Gras. They like to, you know, put humans in pens and keep ingress and egress passages available throughout the area. None of these places, though, have an event of the magnitude of Mardi Gras. They're not even close. And the amount of geography that they're trying to have some care and custody and control over, not close either. But one thing I can tell you for sure, and I almost hate to go here, but we went there during that conversation yesterday. What they like is wider open spaces. So if you were to compare having a parade go down St. Charles Avenue as opposed to Canal Street, my suspicion would be they'll pick Canal Street. And the reason is that they've got three available lanes on the non-parading side of it to move equipment back and forth in the event of an emergency. In the event of a breakdown, you're able to go to the other side, alter the parade route for a block or two, and bring it right back on to the parading side of the highway. There's no other parade route in the city that I'm aware of that allows you that flexibility. And as much flexibility as we have on the parade route in Jefferson Parish, it doesn't really afford that opportunity either. And so when we start thinking about, you know, what these individuals might say, I would just say not so fast. I wouldn't go there. Because when you look at how they conduct the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and other parades down there, New Year's, Rose Bowl Parade, and how they conduct that, when you look at the space that they cordoned off with barricades and otherwise, it is so much broader than any parade route that we have. One, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out if they're looking at an opportunity of a much wider space that they can take control of, where they can move equipment in, they can move manpower in, they can do a whole lot of things in order to respond to an emergency situation. I wouldn't be jumping to so many conclusions so quickly about what's going to be easier from a security standpoint or otherwise. I think the big challenge for us is to not react emotionally, overreact to this situation. We've done it well for a number of years. Are we going to eliminate all risk? No. Can maybe we minimize additional risk with some intermediate measures that might be driven by some data based on our experience? We have data. We have an experience set of where we know some of the hot areas and some of the areas that are not so hot. We modified our security plan in Jefferson Parish almost every year. Very dynamic, not static. Very dynamic. Based on the previous year's experience, what we found, where fights would break out, where we would put our towers to be intrusive, but not overly intrusive, but enough that they know we are watching and we are videotaping everything that they do, so that if there's an issue that breaks out, we know who to go grab and how and when. So there's all kinds of different issues out there. I just would hope that we would engage in less conjecture. There's very little time between now and Mardi Gras this year to make huge swings in the way that we deal with certain issues, I think is going to be a mistake and an overreaction, right? Now let's go to our balls, our parties, our post-parade parties, and the like. There are very few in this country that the big boys that we have, that they have events inside that have that many people. If you just think about the Mardi Gras ball in Washington, D.C., there are only, I think, two, might be three, but at one time I think it was two places in the entire city of Washington, D.C. that can actually host that ball. There's not enough room. So that gives you an indication of how few people actually have the capability of doing what we do, right? When you think about Endymion in the Super in the Superdome, and you think about other parades, Orpheus, Bacchus, others in the convention center, big spaces, a lot of people, potential risk there of a lot of different people entering in different ways, different times, this, that, and otherwise, carrying goods that are in the parade itself, coming into a structure and everything else. It's hard to lock down all of those pieces of apparatus from a sacrosanct security standpoint ever. If we're honest, it cannot be achieved. So, I mean, it's just a lot that's out there. I don't think it does us much good to engage in conjecture. We have to have smart conversations with the right people. And it may just simply be that there are reports that are provided by the crews and others in advance of Mardi Gras, so there's a clear understanding and expectation of what is going to be delivered by the crew on that given day, on that given route, during that period of time. No surprises. And treat that as though it's a contract. That's all that there is. There's no additional group that gets to show up and get in a parade. There's no changes. There's no any of that. That is the plan. And we're all working to staff to that plan, operationally or otherwise. And there's a clear understanding none of it is going to change. And there are many ways to accomplish what you want to accomplish by minimizing that risk. And I just say this because Mardi Gras is incredibly important to this city in so many different ways. Look, they have some people that love it, some people that don't. I ride every year in the crew of Orpheus. I have a blast. It's a great crew. I'm with friends. We have a great time. We spend 5 days down in the warehouse district. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Just have a damn good time. Thank every officer I see. Really appreciate the work that they do. And just a lot of fun. Are there ways to improve? Yeah, I see it every year. Sometimes I get a little frustrated. I understand the manpower shortages. So there are some challenges that we have, but we got to make sure that we have a desire, not unlike standing up for our chief. I don't know about you, but I've been going to Mardi Gras since I was a baby. And I don't want to stop. I'm glad I'm not responsible for it anymore, but I don't want to stop. We go every year. We have good friends that actually run parades. And, you know, and I think about all the years of the blood, sweat, and tears that they put into this to keep it alive and well. There, no one else has it to the magnitude that we have it. So I just, you know, kind of think that we should step up collectively, collaboratively together, engage in some meaningful conversations, try to achieve as much as we can achieve, but let us not fall prey to fear or otherwise. And let's be measured in our approach, and let's be smart about what we do. Not create situations, as a good friend said, Walt Leger, not a situation of feeling safe, of actually the measures that we deploy actually provide safety. Something more than a feeling, right? And that's the danger. So I hope we tamp it down. I hope we get smart about what we do. And I'm confident that whoever comes here from the federal government is going to be of the mindset that they're not here to rip up the entire game plan and set up a whole new strategy here. That ain't going to go well. I can promise you. There's too much blood, sweat, and tears invested in Mardi Gras that's worthy of standing up for Mardi Gras. We'll be right back.